Hello everyone. Yes, it's me, Daz. And it's Mr. Alex as well. It's episode 6 of the Press Play on Tape podcast.
Woohoo, man. Firecrackers, have you got firecrackers there?
Wow, it feels like forever.
Yeah, and it's spring, mate. It's spring. We had lovely weather yesterday and today's a piece of shit again.
Yeah, we got cold quick.
It did, didn't it? It's been a while, but we say that every episode. So, yeah, man, it feels like it's been a long break, but
eternity.
Yeah, but it's good to hear your voice, Daz.
Likewise, my friend.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. You know probably why it felt like forever. It's because you went on a holiday, you lucky bastard.
Yeah, I did. And I must admit, I'm feeling depressed. You know that after you come back from leave and holiday and you get back to the normal routine, you think, oh man, this time last week I was doing X, Y, and Z, and now, you know, I'm putting out the washing or doing some ironing or shopping or going to work.
Doing so, ABC, mate.
Yeah. Yeah. But, I mean, I had this to look forward to, coming back to the Press Play on Tape podcast and chatting to you and
it's beautiful, thank you.
Yeah. Missed you, Daz, missed you.
I missed you too, mate. and we really mean it, listeners, we really do.
Oh.
We're like brothers from another mother.
Absolutely, man, absolutely. Yeah.
So what did you get up to? Well, before we get into our main topic, and obviously, you just want to tell us quickly about the trip. Like, did you pick up anything really cool? Did you see anything really awesome? I mean, it doesn't have to be computers, but
yeah. No, look, my wife is actually she's fantastic at doing the research side of things. So she found all these places that we were going to visit, apart from all the touristy things that you do when you go to places, but. Found a few arcade places and pinball places and some stores and pawn shops, and so yeah, she did all the hard work and all I had to do was just rock up and go hunting. So look, Disneyland was a highlight. Never been there, so that was great. California Adventure Park, I felt like I was, you know, 12 years old.
That would be awesome, actually.
It was awesome. Let me just say, man, being away for 3 weeks in the US and Canada, weather was fantastic. It was nice and hot all the time. So that was a huge highlight to get away from the cold in Melbourne.
Wow, so you went to Canada as well?
Yeah. Went to Vancouver. Wow. Went to Movieland Arcade, which apparently has been there since the early 80s. And seriously, when you walk in, the decor looks like it's been stuck from the 80s or
cool.
Whenever it opened up. And they've got an eccentric old guy sitting at the front. He was actually asleep when we walked in, so that was funny. All the older games were at the back, playing some Galaga, and I think they had a Neo Geo there. I can't remember because I went to so many places. I'm actually getting, I'm losing track of what I saw at what place. But that was a highlight in Vancouver. Seattle was fantastic. So if you ever get a chance to go to the US, go to Seattle. There was the Seattle Pinball Museum. You pay $13 to get in, and you play pinball and arcade machines. All day.
Oh wow.
Yeah, the computer museum as well. That was cool.
What was there?
Did
they cover a lot?
The computer museum, yeah. I'll tell you this, Daz. I only saw the front because someone, me, thought that we would go on the Monday when we were in Seattle. And when we rocked up, and guess what? They said they're open every day except for Monday.
Oh, man.
So I was cursing because we'd walked, I reckon, probably about 6 or 7 Ks. It was just a tad out of the city. And I must admit I wasn't happy. Luckily, there was a massive Krispy Kreme's close by. So went and drowned our sorrows there. And from there, we went to the Seattle Pinball Museum, and that just made up for the day. But and along the way there, we went to Shorty's as well, which is another like a barcade type setup. Really, really cool. Yeah, it's like a, how can I describe it? It's like a pixel alley. It put it this way, it wouldn't be out of place if it was in Collingwood or Abbotsford or Fitzroy.
Real hipster, is it?
Yeah, cool. Really cool. And obviously Vegas. Vegas was awesome. Pinball Hall of Fame. And the arcade joints at New York, New York and Excalibur. They were really, really cool. The Toy Shack, which was a fantastic toy store in Vegas. We wrote an actual article about that. There's heaps of photos up there. And I'll be sharing a few more in the next few weeks as well. Yeah, man, it was just... well, now it feels like a blur. Being back, this is our second week back. And yeah, it feels like an eternity ago, but it wasn't, so... Yeah, and pickups, yeah, a few Sega CD games, Jaguar, and Super Famicom, out of all things, would you believe?
And oh, that was
at
wow.
That was at a place called the Gamers Paradise in Las Vegas, right next to the Pinball Hall of Fame. And that was Mr. Matthew Corley that gave us that tip, so thank you very much, Mr. Corley.
Fellow RD man.
Yeah, yeah, he knows his shit, man, he knows his shit. And, yeah, no, look, that was actually quite cool. The actual store has got, like, a museum pieces as well, so they're behind glass. And, yeah, there was quite a few things there that that I haven't seen for a while. I'm just trying to remember while I'm saying that what they were. I took a lot of photos, so rest assured in the next few weeks when we do post them on OzRetroGamer.com, you'll see what was actually there. But, yeah, no, that was cool. Spent a few hours in there, so... I remember Matt Corley saying that he went there and he spent half a day there, so and I can see
why. Was it easy to do?
Absolutely easy to do, and easy to also walk out with a shed load of games, but I didn't. I was actually more controlled, you know. I just thought, well, I really wanted a few games. The Sega CD ones were just because they were cheap, and Ms. Ozzel Tragoma wanted some, so so I bought some for her, and yeah, man, and I know I had a few orders from yourself, Daz, and Serbia as well, and unfortunately couldn't find those games, so that was a bummer.
I was told you found them and you smashed them on the floor.
No,
you were waiting for that, weren't you?
No, I was going to say, I bought them, and then I sold, on-sold them on eBay for
you know, cheaper.
Triple the price.
Nah, then. You did it cheaper.
You did it cheaper.
Didn't want them.
Nah, no, I wouldn't do that, mate. No, it was, I mean, I thought that would have been games I would have easily had found, but I didn't. So and the other places that we went to, it was just full of Nintendo Entertainment System games.
I thought Sega CD would have been really easy to find there.
Yeah, apart from Gamers Paradise, I don't recall seeing it anywhere else. So obviously Nintendo being huge in the States, or it was huge in the 80s and 90s, there's a lot of stock on that. But yeah, look, I was really surprised to find Super Famicom, and actually, I didn't find any PC Engine games or...
really? No TurboGrafx?
Yeah, TurboGrafx, no. Unless I didn't look hard enough, but... any store I went to, especially Toy Shack, wow, I was just like... I didn't know where to look. But what did capture my eye in that place was they had three arcade machines. They had Year Kung Fu. I can't remember the other two, but my eyes just went straight to Year Kung Fu because I don't even think I even... saw that in the arcades here back in the 80s, so that was awesome.
You know, I did.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Actually, local fish chip shop, St. Albans.
Good old St. Albans, huh?
Yeah, I remember, actually, yeah. Actually, no, I'm lying. Because this is Ya Kung Fu, yeah?
Yeah, Kung Fu
Master. I had Kung Fu Master in my head.
Kung Fu Master, yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, Kung Fu, I don't think I love playing it on the Commodore, but... But I don't think I ever saw it in the arcades. And if I did, I don't remember playing it, to be honest. So,
I think I was too young when that came out. So,
yeah.
I only know the 64 version. I think it's a really good port as well.
It is. It is a really, really good game, actually. Better than the first Street Fighter game that came out on the 64, which was a big pop.
I actually enjoyed it.
Oh, Daz, please.
I know. It's not great, but I still played it.
Really?
Yeah,
no,
yeah.
I think I just played it because at the time I liked the cover and I saw it at the arcades. And didn't they have pressure pads on the arcade machine?
The original one, yes. It had one punch and one kick, and there were big pads. And the harder you hit it, the harder your punch or kick was.
Which was pretty ahead of its time, to be honest.
Yeah.
But obviously, yeah, to then convey that onto a home computer, on an 8-bit computer, yeah.
Well, it didn't do too well, so most cabs ended up adopting the 3-punch, 3-kicks.
Yeah.
So that's where it came from, initially, so yeah.
So yeah, Daz, Nothing much more to tell. There will be articles that I'll do on the site with lots of photos for people to have a look at, and hopefully, yeah, if you ever get a chance to go to the US or Canada, by all means, I'll put all the details in the articles, and also how to get there. So avoid taxis and whatnot. Catch buses because it's way cheaper. Or use your legs and walk. Yeah.
And keep fit. Because you'll be eating a lot of junk food while you're...
Absolutely, man. Yeah. Absolutely. Did a lot of walking. My legs were sore, back was gone, but God, it was worth it. Definitely, definitely worth it. But the highlight for me was definitely Seattle, man. I thought it blew my mind with all the things that you can see and do, touristy as well as retro stuff, and Amazon being there, Microsoft being there, Starbucks from there, and a few other, I'm trying to think what other big companies have come from there, but I saw the original Xbox at the museum. That was awesome. A big steel X. It was... Yeah, I think I put a video up on the Facebook page. So, that was cool to see. Microsoft exhibit, obviously they're from Seattle as well. So, really, really cool, man. Really cool. I went to a Star Wars museum as well. I had the costumes of Star Wars. That was great as well in Seattle. So, yeah, man, it was action-packed holiday.
Lucky bugger. Yeah. Next time you got to stick me in your suitcase.
I was going to say, I think it'll be a while until we go again because unfortunately the Australian dollar was tanking while we were there. So we just got our credit card bills today. And it is. I can't wait till I get paid. So anyway, we'll sort that stuff out. But the holiday was definitely worth it. So
yeah. Well, you only live once, huh?
Absolutely, my friend. But now on to the topic of the day.
The nitty gritty.
Yeah. What are we going to talk about, mate?
Aren't we talking about sound chips and, music?
And chip tunes? Absolutely, man. Absolutely. Now, Daz, when I say chip tunes, what do you think of?
I think of game music.
Excellent.
And the SID chip.
And the SID chip, exactly. And I'm the same, right? On the same, anytime I think of chip tunes, I think of the SID chip or the Commodore sound interface device chip, the old MOS 6581, and I can't remember how many iterations I had. I think they had about three or four or maybe five.
I thought there was only two.
No, there was probably about three or four. I might be wrong. And then the 8580 revision 5 was on the Commodore 128. SID chip. So man, I think of synthesized music or synth music when I think of chip tunes, and I think of the SID chip number one. But obviously, as people will know, and you will know, Daz, there was more than just the SID chip. But I don't know, was there any particular ones that you recall, mate? Or
I really loved what the Amiga delivered.
The Amiga was on the another scale, wasn't it?
It was. It was actually ahead of its time. I still can't believe that Amiga didn't win the race over IBM. It's another topic altogether. But
yeah,
the sound on that thing and
Commodore, unfortunately, yeah, just yeah. Anyway,
yeah. But but also mentioned prior to the podcast. When we were chatting before, the sound chip on the ZX Spectrum Plus 2.
Yeah, that was the General Instrument AY-3-8910, which was also under license by Yamaha, the YM2149F that was on the Atari ST. But I didn't know that that particular General Instrument chip was in the Intellivision, in the Vectrex, in arcade games apparently. And also on the Amstrad and MSX. So there we go, man. It was a pretty popular chip.
It's funny because it sounds different in every machine.
It does. And you know what? I actually bought what was it, Yasi, yet another Space Invader game for the Vectrex. And the sound on that just blew me away. I actually didn't know anything about the, well, I was ignorant about the chip until I actually heard that, and I just thought, wow, this is awesome. Like, I still love the SID. It's always number one. But this just blew me away. I just could not believe how awesome the sound was.
I think you showed me when I was over last.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, yeah. It was quite cool. But look, for the Atari fans, I know they're going to scream if I don't, say the Pokey or the potentiometer keyboard chip. Well, that's a mouthful, isn't it? The Pokey. It was on the Atari 8-bit computers, so on the XEXL range. Apparently they used it on Missile Command and Asteroids Deluxe arcade games as well, among others anyway. But I know the Atari fans will appreciate that. But Atari on the Apple computers sounds pretty cool too.
But it does.
It does. It does. And then we've got the Texas Instrument one, the SN76489 Digital Complex Sound Generator, the DCSG, and its many clones. Apparently, it's very similar to the General Instrument AY chip, but that was on the Texas Instrument 994A computer, the Sega Master System, Mega Drive, Nomad, the BBC Micro, ColecoVision, and the Neo Geo Pocket Color. So I can't believe that chip was actually used in a device that was made, in the late 90s. So it is crazy, huh? And and obviously the original Speccy, the 48K with the beeper sound chip. And obviously our NES friends, will probably cry and say, well, the NES had awesome sound, a sound chip as well. And yeah, look, I must admit the NES has got some cool tunes too, but I'm sorry, but the 64 is just...
For sure. Yeah. Can't be the 64. I think the NES's sound chip was good when they knew how to use it.
Yeah.
I found a lot of games just sounded too generic.
They did. They almost sounded like... they almost blended like they were all the same to me. There was no differentiation. Yeah, yeah. Or either that or my ears couldn't pick it up. Whereas the 64... I mean, obviously, we're going to talk about chip tunes and stuff, but the amount of stuff that was pumped out by the Rob Hubbards and Martin Galways and so on. It was just phenomenal. Amazing. But, the other chip I want to mention was the Yamaha YM2151, the OPM FM operator time M 8-channel 4-operator sound chip.
Bloody hell, that's a mouthful.
Yeah, it is. It is. And apparently they used that in their synths. But it was actually used in arcade games by Sega, Atari, Konami, Capcom, Data East.
Okay.
Namco, and also in Williams pinball machines. And it was in Sharp's X1 and X68000 home PCs as well. So, and look, the X68000 computer is actually a beautiful machine. So that particular Yamaha chip is quite nice as well. But I guess that will lead on to what are your favorite chip tunes, Des?
Oh, jeez,
I've put you on the spot, mate.
Well, yes and no. I've just got to go back to my retrodomination.com article I wrote. I think it was a reply to your article.
It was. Yeah. I did the Ultimate Chip Tunes article last year in August during C64 month, and I think I did a top 20 or top 25, I can't recall, but that generated a fair bit of engagement. And, people were shocked with my number one pick. But, look, I think I might have said this at the time, but even though that game was my number one right then and there,
It changes, doesn't it?
It does change. I mean, it's still in my top five, but it does change. So, but I won't I won't actually take up any more of your time, Des, but you can – I don't know if you got your list up and going, mate, but...
I have. Well, I'm not going to name all 25.
Oh, no. Just,
Your favourite five or pick. I'm going to nitpick.
Oh, yeah, go for it, man.
Because like I said, it always changes. If yous are keen to check out my full 25, yous can go to retrodomination.com.
Beautiful.
How's that for a plug?
Plug away, man.
All right, look, I'll name five. Hammer Fist. And that's done by Wally Bebben. Have you know that tune, don't you?
Wow, no.
Oh, dude. Oh,
Oh. Jeez, you do this to me at every single podcast. You actually pull something out of left field and you absolutely blow me away. So hang on, I'll get a piece of paper and write
Hammer
down.
Fist.
Hammer Fist. Now, I know the game, but I just can't recall the music. But, oh, wow. Now I'm keen.
Terramix by Ben Daglish.
Wow.
Ben Daglish was a genius, by the way.
Yeah, he's a cool guy too. Speaking to him on the RD podcast, a fair bit ago now, probably about a year and a bit ago.
I reckon about 2 years ago.
Oh, wow, was it? Yeah.
I'd say so.
Now, there's a particular game that I reckon you'll probably say that it's got your favourite tune, which I absolutely don't like, but anyway, go on.
Okay.
I'll see if you actually do bring it up.
It's just hard. I mean, Minot Resistance was really good.
Oh, wow, yeah, love it.
One that doesn't really get much attention is Dragon Breed by Martin Walker.
Yeah.
I love the game. I'm actually picking up the arcade jammer board PCB tomorrow.
No way.
Yeah, the original board. I have been after it for so long.
You dirty dog.
Yeah, I'm dirty, man. I mean, the thing is worth $400 plus. It's really hard to find. Irene boards are getting very expensive.
Dude, I don't even think I've ever seen anyone advertise a board. So the fact that you actually found one and got it.
Yes. Great friend, Greg Powell, sourced one for me for $150.
Ah, Greg. Okay, yep.
Yes, so I jumped on it. But anyway, Dragon Breed on the C64. The intro music is phenomenal.
Who's that by, dude? Who's
Martin Walker?
Oh, that's right. You said that. Sorry. Yeah.
Jesus, so many. I can't leave it to five. It's ridiculous. Ghouls and Ghosts.
Tim Follin. He's an absolute genius, isn't he?
Very, very. He's a fucking phenomenal. Oh, jeez, I swear. Sorry, people. That's how excited I get.
Absolutely.
Turrican by Chris Husbeck. Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant.
What did you think of R-Type by Chris?
Yeah, it's good. It was good. I think he's done a lot better.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
But, like I said, Turrican. What else has he done? That's awesome. Kartikas. I think that's his best. Oh, sorry. I was going to say Turrican is, but Kartikas was great.
Was it Kartikas or Kartikas?
Kartikas. Okay. I don't know. I don't even know how to pronounce it.
It doesn't matter.
I've always said it.
Yeah. That's fine.
Where is it? Rambo First Blood Part 2.
Ooh, okay, yeah.
Martin Galway.
Yeah.
But I'd have to say my two favourite. Sorry, I'd say, look, these are probably my top three, and it's funny, this one's not actually in there. I've actually got The Last Ninja by Ben Daglish.
Yep.
But I'd say Part 2, The Garden level by Martin Galway.
Now, a lot of people said that, so,
That's really, really good. Okay, look, I just keep coming. Golden Axe by Jerome Tal, that's just brilliant as well.
Now, I was going to say, I can't believe you haven't actually brought up any of Jerome Tal's, and he's done...
Yeah, well, he's my favourite.
Yeah.
I'm not going to put a Jerome Tal top 10.
That's fine. Yeah. We'll actually talk about your favourite chiptune artist in a bit, but first the actual music, mate, but... Sorry, I kept on interrupting you.
The first Sid Chip tune I probably fell in love with, and I still love it to this day, is Monty on the Run by Rob Hubbard.
That's the one. That's the one I was thinking of. I'm thinking, why do you like that? And I know you're a muso, so you were saying the fact that it's, things are just...
It's hectic. It's everywhere.
Yeah. And that's why I don't like it. I don't appreciate it. Obviously,
it's too busy for you.
Yeah, it is. It's too much.
Oh, well, you need to like put it on loop for like 2 hours and just keep listening to it, because it's. I don't know how the hell he pushed that tune out of that chip. Like that tune is just unbelievable.
Unbelievable. Yeah, it is.
But number one tune I have to say is Myth by Jerome Tal.
Whoa. Yeah.
It's a phenomenal. Whatever Jerome Tull did was just he's a freak.
Yeah. Now Myth is a beautiful the actual synth. Oh, it just gives me goosebumps just thinking about it.
Cybernoid 2, Jerome Tull.
How old was he when he did Cybernoid? I think he was 16.
14.
That's mind blowing, man. Mind blowing.
14. It's funny, I mean, I don't like to name drop, but I was actually chatting to him about over a month ago via Skype, just having a casual chat, and the guy is unbelievable. he's just, you know, he just tells me stories, and he was showing me stuff that he does now, and that isn't released yet, and that he will be releasing on his new album.
Oh, did that get funded, the Indiegogo?
It did get fully funded, but it'll still get released.
Oh, good.
Yes,
good,
yeah, good. Yeah. And just other stuff, his side projects, he was showing me his music, and he's the guy's unbelievable. I mean, he's unbelievable.
Now, imagine someone told you back in 1990 or 91, whenever you got into the 64, was it earlier, if they said you're going to be talking to Jerome Tell.
Yeah, I'd be freaking, like, yeah, bullshit.
Yeah, you would have said, piss off, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
No, that's good, man.
Yeah, he's actually a very genuine, nice bloke. He's actually a really nice bloke. And Ben Daglish as well, we had, like, spoke to him. Chris Hulsbeck wasn't that long ago. We had him on the RD podcast as well. He's a gentleman.
The fact that these guys make themselves available is testament to how professional and awesome they are. So.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I mean, they love what they do. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
so,
yeah. And the fact, yeah. I think they're probably overwhelmed. The fact that, you know, people still appreciate their work 30 years after the fact. So, good on them. Good on them. They brought a lot of smiles to a lot of gamers' faces.
Yeah, man.
Yeah. So, yeah, man. Is that... Was that your
top? That's it, man. That's four. Yeah, let's handball it to you.
All right.
I can go for hours.
Yeah, oh, yeah, Matt. Same. That's why I thought I'd write myself a list, and I agonized over this so many times, and I changed it and chopped it and whatnot. But anyway, I'll in no particular order. Look, I had Last Ninja 2 as well, Matt Gray. Comic Bakery, Martin Galway.
I
didn't
know that.
Oh, okay. You gotta listen. Oh, dude, you gotta listen to it. It's a really, really great tune. Look, Martin, I know we'll talk about chiptune artists in a bit, but Martin Galway's done a lot of stuff. And when we do talk about him, and yeah.
Ocean Load?
Oh, yeah, well, Ocean Loader 1 and 2, Rustin, Parallax, you know, Rambo First Blood Part 2, Combat School, Slap Fight, Year Kung Fu, Green Beret, Comic Bakery. You name it, he's done a shed load.
They're all good.
They are. The guy's phenomenal. Look, another favourite, and I actually put it, I think in at number 15 or maybe 20 last year, but it's definitely my top five is Operation Wolf by Jonathan Dunn. Absolutely.
Yeah, that's
love
pretty good.
Love the tune. I just keep on putting it on my iPhone, listening into it on the way to work. For some reason, it gets me all prepped up for work. It's nice and easy to listen to. Turbo Outrun by Jerome Tell, classic. I mean, cool. seven minutes and 20 seconds or whatever it is of just phenomenal
sampling. It's sampling.
And the fact that he actually does a voiceover in that, you know, in the actual.
Is that him? Is it?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh wow.
Yeah, it is. It is. Great tune. Zamzara.
By, how good is that?
By Charles Deenan, yeah. And he's another one.
Great game, too.
Yeah, absolutely. So he's also obviously from Maniacs of Noise with Jerome Tell. Mm-hmm. So that's... Actually, that's the one that I had at number one on my... excuse me, on the article, and people were like, "Oh, okay." And I said, just give it a shot. And then when it changes at about 2 minutes... Oh, yeah, it's great. Skate or Die, Rob Hubbard.
It's good.
It was either that or BMX Kids, but I thought, no, Skate or Die. I remember when I loaded that up for the first time, I just went, what the? And I think I had the same reaction with Turbo Outrun at the time, so Skate or Die and Turbo Outrun just stick in my head. Cybernoid, Sanction.
Brilliant.
By Rob Hubbard.
So what's that?
Sanction?
Never heard of it.
Dude. Oh,
I've never heard it.
Sanxion. Look it up.
Sanxion.
X.
Yeah.
Ion. Great game, and it's unbelievable. When you see it, I reckon you'll go, "Oh,
Vince." Oh yeah, I don't like the game.
Oh okay, but
yeah,
but the tune is just classic Rob Hubbard. The guy's just phenomenal.
I think I know the tune.
And look, I did leave out IK and IK Plus, but I had Ocean Loader 4 by Jonathan Dunn as well, and Mega Apocalypse by Rob Hubbard. But they're my current top 10 fave chip tunes. Now, unfortunately, yeah, I don't have anything on the other systems. They're all SID chip tunes. because as I said at the top of the when we discussed this, when I think of chiptunes, I think of the Sid chip only. But yeah, man, Commodore 64. Even when I used to get, you know, crack games and some of the actual intros or cracktros with their music, it was just what? I mean, I remember the new Busters did "When Will I Be Famous" by Bros. As their intro, I just went, "What the hell?"
With the sample speech and everything.
No, there was no sample speech. But yeah, it was just the tune, and I thought, "Wow, that's amazing." And then when I heard Jerome Tell's S Express tune, I can't remember which. I think it might have been Akari or Triad that used it in their intro or cracktro. Sorry, I just went, "Wow, that has to be probably my." My favourite, cracktro music, I would say, by Mr. Jerome Tell. But speaking of which, your favourite artist, Daz?
Oh, well, Jerome Tell, 100%. Rob Hubbard. And, yeah, Malcolm Galway. I mean, Ben Daglish. I don't think I discriminate.
The same, so. Same. Look,
Tim Follin, I mean, they're all good. Chris Husbeck.
Yeah, they are.
It's hard. No, I don't like to discriminate. You know what? They're all my favourites.
You're right. I do specifically remember the only name that would always pop up when I would read Zap or CMVG back in the day, back in the 80s. I'd always see Rob Hubbard's name. So I can't recall seeing the others. I think I might have seen Tim Follin when LED Storm came out because they were all out by the music, but I just remember Rob Hubbard just stuck in my head, and then, you know, eventually when I found out what the other composers' names were, it was like, oh, right, and that's when I started looking up all their other work. So, but for me, man, yeah, Rob Hubbard, Martin Galway, Tim Follin, I love Bionic Commando, LED Storm, LED Storm, sorry, Smoke on the Water, that was awesome.
I know, how good is that?
Yeah, oh, yeah. Brilliant, you know, the whole...
I think Ghouls and Ghosts would see his highlight, though.
Yeah, Ghouls and Ghosts is up there, definitely.
The sampling in there with that wind and the whistle.
It's amazing.
You know what, I'm gonna try to get him on the RD podcast. Would you join me on that one?
Oh, man, if you get Tim Follin on there, I'll be there with bells and whistles.
Okay.
Now, usually I don't get up early on a weekend, but for Tim Follin, I will.
Ben Daglish, didn't you?
I did, definitely. Look, Jerome Tell, yeah, the guy's an absolute maestro. Matt Gray, obviously. Peter Clark, who doesn't get a lot of, he did Ocean Later 3. I'm just trying to think what else he did, but I really, really like that. And another guy that I reckon is on par with the rest of them is Jonathan Dunn. Now, I'll just...
That rings a bell.
Operation Wolf, Run the Gauntlet.
That's right, yeah.
Ocean Loader 4, which is my absolute favourite. He did Dragon Ninja, Red Heat, Platoon.
Oh.
He did Platoon, The Untouchables. He did Robocop.
Wow, man.
I don't know if you like that. Guerrilla War.
Yeah, yeah.
He did quite a few. And I fell in love with Operation Wolf. And then when I found out the others that he did, The Untouchables was awesome too. Robocop, I really, really like. He's up there with all of them, actually. Like you said, Daz, it's hard to separate them. Rob Hubbard stands out the most because I think I saw his name a lot back in the day, but the others are just equally fantastic. Phenomenal artists.
Okay, can I actually correct myself?
Ooh.
Before, I said Last Ninja 2 was Martin Galway.
Oh, did you?
Is it Matt Gray?
Yeah, it was Matt Gray. Yeah. Sorry, I think you might have said Matt Gray, but...
Did I? Well, just in case I didn't.
Well, there we go. That's right.
Yeah.
I'm sure...
I don't want people messaging and saying, we're a bunch of noobs. It's, you know... There's only so much you can remember, people.
Yeah, that's right. Our brains are 8-bit, you know? We can't fit 16-bit or 32-bit worth.
We can't process more than 8-bit, people.
Buffer overflow, man.
Yeah. Exactly.
Oh, damn.
Oh, cool.
But interesting little factor, Daz. I was actually looking up what are the most used SID tunes in intros or cracktros. Take a guess which one's number one.
Oh, jeez. I can hear it. Oh, jeez.
Now, I was actually, I actually didn't guess it. But yeah, so when I did see it, I just went, oh, wow, okay, I didn't know that. But and we just spoke about it not even 30 seconds ago.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
For some reason, I've got Ya Kung Fu in my head.
No, it's
like the theme at start when you press the button, you know.
Last Ninja 2.
Really?
Yeah, the most used in Cracktros, yeah.
Which tune, though?
The Garden. Is it The Garden?
No, I'd know.
I don't know if it's I didn't actually delve deeper than that, dude. I saw that it was Last Ninja 2. Second was Savage by Jerome Tell.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Huh.
Third, I wasn't surprised. I actually thought this would be number one, was the theme from S Express. As I said, I specifically remember that, and I can't remember the actual cracking group that used it. I can't remember if it was Ikari or Triad or one of the other.
Is that... Yeah, because as I said, the one that I remember the most, I think it was Triad used it. It was like... Dun, dun, dun.
Now you gotta. Yes. Oh, now you gotta find that sample and play it.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what tune that is, though. Yeah, can you hear it? Do you know which one I'm talking about?
Yeah, I can, man. If anyone else knows, please, Facebook us or yeah.
You know what? Let's have a look on YouTube. Resume, my friend.
No, that's all right. Number four was Noisy Pillars by Jerome Tell. So the guy was phenomenal. Rounding up the top five was Delta by Rob Hubbard.
Yes, that is common, yes.
So there we go. That actually blew my mind. The fact that there was actually such a list, I was actually quite surprised about and happy.
Yeah.
So that was really cool. Excuse me. What I was going to say next was... go to our social media channels and see what people's favourite chiptunes were, or did you want to lump them all together with our next topic, Daz?
I can just lump it all together.
Lump it all together? Alright, so I know I stuffed up last month with your publisher of choice, Daz, and you were nice enough not to, you know, stuff me up, so the publisher of choice for this month is MicroProse. So, having said that, MicroProse was founded in 1982 as MicroProse Software Inc. by Wild Bill Steely and Mr. Sid Meier. Is it Meier or Meyer? I can never, don't know how it's pronounced. Sure. But look, the one thing that I, and obviously it got bought out, I think Hasbro bought them out at one stage and whatnot. You can read the history on Wiki, I guess. Mm-hmm. Spectrum Holobot as well in the 90s. But to me, MicroProse, I just remember in the 80s, their boxes, you know, Airborne Ranger, Gunship. It was like, wow, man, these things are, you know, premium quality.
Yeah, man.
You know, packaging and the games were phenomenal. And, I guess I'll go straight into the games that stand out in my head. Now, Gunship, I was absolutely crap at. And the amount of buttons you had to know and whatnot, I had no clue, but I loved it for some bizarre reason.
It's too much for me.
It's too. It was overly technical, I think, for my brain anyway. And remember, it was an 8-bit brain trying to process all that. Airborne Ranger was another one.
Loved it.
Yeah, and MicroProse also published, under their MicroStyle label, Stunt Car Racer.
Ah, okay.
So yeah, so that was phenomenal. That will be probably my number one game, and equal top spot will be MicroProse Soccer.
Yes.
The fact that you had outdoor, indoor soccer, and the instant replays, and it was just. What? That just...
The rain when they...
Yeah, the rain, and it was, you know, a top view, because I always played soccer games, you know, side on view, or side-scrolling, and being top view, it was like, wow, you know, so yeah. I much preferred that to kickoff and whatnot, and I know people are going to go, what, are you crazy? But...
Well, it's John Hare.
Yeah, well, there we go.
John Hare made that.
There we go.
That's your prequel to Sensible Soccer.
Ah, well, there we go. That I didn't know. So there we go. Yes. And here's another top guy. So John here, and I will always kick myself the day that you call me to meet up with you and John, and I couldn't. if he's listening to this, I would have loved to have met you, Mr. Hare, and hopefully he can come out and we can show him a good time again.
There's actually a funny story behind that. Again, not name dropping. He came down to Melbourne, and I was speaking to John prior to that because we had him on the RD podcast. So we end up getting a bit of a relationship, and so he was coming down to Melbourne. He contacted myself and Matt Corley as well from RD. He couldn't attend the, you know, going out with us because he was in the States on a holiday. So he was kicking himself. So it ended up just being me, and I thought, well, geez, okay, I've got a couple of hours to go, and I'll see if I can get in touch with Alex, see if he wants to, you know, join us for a meal, and then they go for a few beers, and no, he couldn't. it was an awesome night. It was a really cool night.
I bet. And I know every time you tell the story, I just think, ah, man. And obviously, you know, John's a top bloke, and and you guys had a fun time. So I am supremely jealous, my friend. And
it would have been cool if you were there, man.
Yeah. Oh yeah. It would have been awesome. It would have been a massive highlight. But
anyway.
So man. And look. Civilization, even though I wasn't into those type of games, I really, really got into it at uni with some friends. Building your own village and, you know, pillaging and whatnot. That was awesome. And look, I wish I got into the Midwinter games, but I didn't. But yeah, they're my top microprose games. And mainly on the C64, and the latter ones on actual PC.
Okay. Mine are pretty much the same as yours, dude. I mean, I didn't really play much of their stuff.
Okay.
Number one would have to be Stunt Car Racer, obviously.
Yep.
Micropro Soccer. Airborne Ranger, I absolutely loved.
Yeah. Great.
Such a good game. Oh, Pirates. Yes, how could I forget Pirates?
Of course, yes.
Pirates. Had the map and everything.
Yeah.
I wouldn't even know where that is now.
Oh, have you still got it, you reckon?
Sorry?
Have you still got it?
No, dude. That's one game. I have no idea where it went. I remember having the map and everything. Rick Dangerous?
Oh!
Yes.
Was that Microprose? There we go.
Yeah, published by Microplay Software.
Ah, okay. Same.
Yes, Elite Plus.
Elite Plus? No. Nah.
Carrier Command?
Oh, yes.
I've never played them, actually. I'm just pointing them out to you.
Oh, right, okay, sorry.
Savage is in there.
Ah, there we go.
Yeah.
Is that a Microprose publication?
Well, they must be. Yeah, I'm looking on there. Well, that's what Wiki says.
Oh, that's right. They did Railroad Tycoon. And and look, I can see a few games that I know people have actually documented on Facebook and Twitter, so I won't actually bring those up. So we'll bring them up when we go through that. But
there isn't that much here that I really got into with them.
But
those games I absolutely loved and adored.
Me it was
Standout games for me on the C64.
I remember it was always Psygnosis and the Microprose stuff that stood out to me on shelves.
Great covers. But Microprose looked more of a serious game.
Yeah, it did, didn't it? Mm. It was like, oh no, there's no mucking around here. This is like serious simulation
stuff.
This is
what dads play. This is what dads put, you know, get that keyboard chart.
Yeah.
And, you know, because I remember a friend of mine used to play Gunship and he'd have this thing on his keyboard.
An overlay.
I'm like, you serious?
Yeah, it was full on. It was like a serious simulator. Yeah,
F-15 Strike Eagle, I think, was the other one.
That's right. Yeah. All those stealth games, all the flying stealth games, they were way beyond my, gameplay comprehension. So I would watch people play them, but I had no idea. And as I said, Gunship absolutely sucked. No idea. Crash, whatever. But you know, I just loved the box, and I loved looking at the game. The fact that it looked so good as well. So they made some really, really good stuff on the Commodore 64 anyway, but obviously on a lot of other systems as well.
Mm-hmm. Cool. All right, we'll get to the walls.
Yeah, man, you can do the Facebook ones, my friend, and I'll do the Twitter ones if you want. So yeah, and I know people have so yeah, we'll read out people's chiptune favorite chiptunes and also their Micro Pros favorite games. So go for it, Daz.
Go for it. Okay. I'll go to the RD wall first because I did repost the question there, so I'll get that one out of the way. I think there was only one or two there.
Cool.
So let's have a look. Yeah, there was only one answer. Turrican 2, Peter Naylor. That's what he suggested. Turrican 2.
Okay.
So that, obviously that's his favourite chiptune, and yeah, that's the Amiga version.
Okay. Yep.
Yeah,
yep.
You can't go wrong with that, Peter. Thank you for that. So let's go to our Press Play Tape page, Facebook page. Andy McDonald, Zoom Terror from the Deep, hands down, 100,000 plus hours pumped into that game. I've actually never played that. So that's his favourite game.
Yeah.
Micro Pros game. Graham, okay, this is funny. I actually read this before. let's see. Graham W. Okay, look. I'll just go straight away because I couldn't pronounce his surname. We always have trouble pronouncing his surname.
Is it Ripke?
He goes, "Hey guys, I will bet my surname got you again. It's Webke. Webke? Webke?
Yeah.
Webke.
I think you were saying Wobke before, and
yeah.
I think that's why it might be written, but there might be
Webke. It's K-E-H.
Has it got an accent? I haven't actually got the page up, but has it got an accent on?
No, it doesn't.
No? Okay.
No.
Sorry.
So yeah, so it's pronounced Webke. Thanks, Graham. Thanks for. Hopefully, we're still saying it right.
Yeah,
well,
man.
I am anyway. Okay. Anyway, really love the podcast, and my favourite Sid tune is easily R Type by Chris Husbeck and Ramiro Vaca. Vaca.
Yeah.
Plus, anything by Rob Hubbard is legendary.
Yeah,
man. For Microprose titles, I would go with Gunship, Airborne Ranger, Microprose Soccer, F-15 Strike Eagle, and Solid Service. Yeah, that was another game. And extra Civilization.
Yes. Right,
thanks for the and by the way, yeah, like I read it right there, thanks for the feedback, Graham. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks, man. And thanks for tuning in. Yeah, definitely.
Mark Kassar.
Mr.
Good
C.
friend Mark Kassar, Mr. C mate.
Yes.
Sparky Marky. Okay, number one. Tokyo Skies by Chipzel. Okay, these are chip tunes. Tokyo Skies by Chipzel. Have a listen, Daz, and take a guess as to why. Wink. Okay, I'll have a listen. off her Spectra album. If you mean music from a game, then Central Park from Last Ninja 2 on the C64. Good man. His Microprose games are Microprose Sucker, Pirates, Roller Coaster Tycoon, Worms 2, and Civilization. So cool. What I'll do, when you're reading out your Twitter, I'll listen to that track quickly that Mark's posted there.
Yep.
Because I've been giving my.
Okay.
What I think. Yep. Okay. Tim Arnold, Mr. Arnold, really enjoyed TDK's Awakening. Yeah, that's a TDK Night. Really great chiptune album. Have you heard that one?
Oh, no. Yeah. Mr. Arnold. Ooh.
Yeah, we actually had him on our podcast.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah. He actually works for, what's it called? For Codemasters at the moment.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he does the music for them.
Fantastic.
So, yeah. But, yeah, he did a few Amiga games back in the day as well.
Excellent.
Okay, and he's the games for the XCOM series. Magic the Gathering, Jewels, and Plane Walkers. Have you heard of those?
Well, there we go.
Okay, throwback games. So, Lee.
Hey, Lee.
Lee. Favorite Sid, Turbo Outrun. Top Microprose games, Stunt Car Racer, Microprose Soccer, Airborne Ranger, Formula 1, M1, Tank Platoon. Stunt Car Racer and Microprose Soccer are really popular.
Oh, I was going to say Formula 1, Jeff Crammond, yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
And lucky last is Lachlan Turner. Number one, all-time favourite chiptune is the theme to Mule. C64, of course. Close second and... Close second. The in-game tunes for Super Pipeline 2, C64 again. Actually, that's a good tune, actually. That's one I've forgotten all about.
Damn. Oh, man, I love... See, this is why I love when there's interaction and engagement, because, yeah, you learn or you hear about stuff that you haven't heard from of before, or you might have forgotten. So that's awesome then. I've got to actually write that one down too. Super Pipeline.
Yeah. Good game.
Done.
Mm. Okay, two. Answer for these MicroProse games. Didn't really play a lot of MicroProse games, except still playing to this day Transport Tycoon Deluxe. But of course, who has not heard or seen of Sid Miller's Pirates or Civilization series?
Yeah, classic.
That's the Facebook wall. Thank you, everyone, for answering our question.
Yeah, thank you. And thanks, Des, for reading those out.
No problem.
All right.
Let's go to Twitter.
Yeah, Twitter. Tweet. Yeah, on Twitter today. I'll start from the bottom up, I guess. So, Ben MS, Memento. He said, not into chiptunes, but favorite MicroProse game is UFO Enemy Unknown. And it was the game where he learned to hex edit. Oh, there we go. Next, Freakin' Frankie. Hey, welcome back, Frankie. You're on the podcast again, mate. chiptunes, he's got Ocean Loader, probably 4 or 5. Come on, mate, you can't sit on the fence. I'll say you go for number 4, Ocean Loader 4. MicroProse games, he says Stunt Car Racer, if including MicroStyle, yes we are. And he says if not, then F1 GP or UFO Enemy Unknown. So, you know, there's two votes for UFO. Then we've got Jeb Wrench, or Gilgard Jeb. MicroProse, Magic the Gathering. Now, I know what people are going to say, oh, did MicroProse do that? Now, MicroProse was bought out by Hasbro.
Okay.
Where Magic the Gathering, I think it was 99. So, yeah, that's the link there. So, before people go, oh, it wasn't MicroProse, that's the link, right? Now we've got Alexisms, or Alexatives, chiptunes, Monty on the Run.
So, good man.
Yeah. As soon as I saw that, I thought, oh, Daz would love that. and MicroProse, Jeff Cramman's Grand Prix. At Sumaleth, or Rowan Crawford, chiptunes, he says Commando. He didn't say which MicroProse game. Ant Stiller, another Aussie that went to the States while I was in the States as well, and he just came back, so welcome back to Australia. And chiptunes, Last Ninja, The Wastelands. So, which level was that?
Which one?
The Wastelands. Last Ninja.
Ninja 2. Oh, jeez. Far out. It's not the second, because it's...
No, I don't know.
That's the city. Then, I think Wastelands like the last or second last level. Great game. Great music. The whole thing's phenomenal.
Yeah, and Ant's favourite MicroProse game is Project Stealth Fighter. And he's also, he actually picked it on Twitter as well, so that's awesome. Eric Nelson, Project Stealth Fighter as well, Gunship. Then we've got Squish, or Chris Caradouglas. Favourite chiptune, Bubble. Gazunta, Mr. Cameron Davis from Below the Cartridge. Any reply that doesn't include Civilization, XCOM, Stunt Car Racer, or even Micro Soccer is not an answer worth hearing. Well, there we go, Cam. Everyone's put those games in as well, so you've got fine taste there. Excalibur Zone, Airborne Ranger on the C64. Gary D, or Diggy Days. Chiptune, Thing on a Spring. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, a lot of people like that. I'm not a big fan of that.
Really?
Tune.
Okay.
That's Rob Hubbard, I think.
Uh-huh. Okay, I think. And Formula One GP, Jeff Cremond. Fox Synergy, or Kit Scofflaw, chiptune, Overlord Supremacy. I don't know if that's from a game or if that's, part of my ignorance. Mr. Fox Synergy, I don't know. A MicroProse game, F-117A Stealth Fighter. Jeez, I
bloody hell.
Eventually got it out.
It's a mouthful.
It is. Two more to go. We've got Mark Bell at Mark's tweet. Chiptune, level 2 gameplay tune in The Last Ninja. And MicroProse game is F-15 Strike Eagle on the Commodore 64. And last but not least, our very good friend and chiptune artist, Mr. Aaron White. He says, anything by Format, that is the number 4-Mat of Anarchy. And his favorite MicroProse game is F1GP on the Amiga. So
he loves the Amiga, doesn't he?
Yeah, yeah. That's fair enough. We love our 64, and you know, he's an Amiga fan. I won't hold that against Aaron. But the
ST, that's good.
The ST Woods, man.
Yeah.
Sorry, I had to throw that in. But yeah, now look, actually, before I do go, is that I know Daz is going to have Aaron's. Tune on the end credits of this podcast. So yeah, please listen to that. While I was in the States, Aaron actually created a, I guess, a compilation of a few games that I had in the Ultimate Chiptunes article. So yeah, he asked if which game we would like to have on our podcast, and yeah, rather than give it away, you'll hear it in a little bit anyway. So. Thanks very much for that, Mr. White.
Yes, thank you. So that's it.
That's it, Daz. Can you believe it?
Oh, it's gone already.
Yeah.
Another episode gone.
Time flies when you're having fun, my friend.
Exactly.
And I must say, it is very, very nice to hear a friendly voice, mate. So.
Likewise, man.
Yeah. I mean, I know we spoke, but on social media and.
It's not the same.
It's not the same, no. No, it's not the same hearing your voice and having a chat about, you know, our favourite topics and, you know, and this time it was about chiptunes and MicroProse games and whatnot, so can't wait till see what we talk about.
Next time's going to be then.
Yeah, yeah, and the next one, and straight after the next one will be PAX, so I know both of us are gearing up for that, so...
yeah, before PAX, yep.
Yeah. Yeah, sorry, we'll be before PAX, but we'll be packing our decks for PAX, no.
Exactly. otherwise we'll get smacks.
We're tracking really, really well for PAX and can't wait, man, can't wait for that. It's going to be bigger and better, and I know we say that every year, but seriously, this year is going to be huge.
This year is going to be bigger and better, and I guess, we can't talk about it.
No, we can't, and we might be able to say a little bit more on the next podcast if we're allowed, but... If not, we'll just drop a few hints here and there. And then and then you can fill in the gaps.
Well, look, I can tell you that there's going to be a Commodore 64 there tonight, so that's all you need to
away.
Know.
No!
Are we taking an Atari ST, though?
I will have
did you
to...
Did you put your hand up for that one?
It's
the only one that's got one, have you?
I can't recall. We did submit our list to PAX. Daz, and now you're putting me on the spot, mate. But
I don't think it's there.
Well, if it's not there, it's not there. But look, we'll reveal more on the next podcast, I reckon. But look, there's gonna be no matter what you bring, someone will always say, "Oh, you should have brought this or you should have brought that." Right? There's only a finite amount of space, and yeah, some hard calls were made for this year's event. But rest assured, it's gonna be huge, and what's going to be there is going to be phenomenal. So
that's right. Exactly.
And the best part is meeting up with people, chatting about all this stuff, and seeing all my friends and and I'm getting carried away, Daz. Stop me, man. Stop. Somebody, please stop me.
Hold him back.
Yeah.
All right. Cool. All right. Well, let's do our quick plugs.
Yeah, go for it.
You go first, man. Okay. You go first. Right. No, I've got to think.
Oh, you've got to think. Cool, okay. Fair enough. Now, look, Aaron White, thanks again, mate, for creating that compilation for me. Love it. Sit Tracker 64 crew. Now, I don't know if you guys have actually hit OzTrackAmo.com, but, did an article on Sit Tracker 64, which is an iPad app to create... Sid Chip tunes, and it's just phenomenal. And now, I'm not a muso, I'm absolutely crap, absolute noob, but even I got into it. It was really easy to get into it, and if you're experienced, obviously you can do a lot more. So yeah, man, and to everyone that's listening to me talking now and chatting on Facebook, on Twitter, I love all of you. These are the best. I love it. It is my absolute escapism. So rather than single out people. You guys all rock. So, yeah, please keep it up. And yeah,
I'm sorry, man. I was actually picturing you for like a mullet, you know, like Joe Dirt.
Joe Dirt, exactly.
Rock.
You know what? I used to have one back in the 80s, and Jesus Christ, I hope those photos never see the light of day on any social media platform.
Okay, I'll post them tonight.
Man, if you saw my year 10 school photo, you would absolutely shit yourself.
Did you wear a Def Leppard t-shirt or something?
No, actually, you know what? I was not into metal music back then. So, I was into hip-hop, man. I was into Ice-T.
Oh, wow.
NWA, Grandmaster Flash. I was into that sort of stuff. I did get into the harder stuff later on, but during those years, in the earlier 80s, it was Duran Duran and the ballet.
Synth-pop,
love that.
New wave shit. Yeah, I love that
stuff. Yeah, love that stuff. Yeah. Eurythmics and, yeah, man, heaps. Metal, yeah, no, look, I didn't mind it, but it wasn't my favorite. And then I really, really got into hip-hop.
I would have never picked that.
Man, I even wore happy pants. You know those pants that look like pajamas? Yeah, wore those. Can you believe that? Jeez.
Oh, that's, man, pretty funny, actually.
It is funny. With my Vanilla Ice haircut.
All right, cool. Is that it there?
Yeah, that's it, man. Okay. Sorry.
No, don't be sorry, man. I'm the one interrupted. Shout outs for me, just everyone who listens in. Thanks, guys. I really appreciate it. The boys from RD, great support. Love you, boys. All of yous, love yous. Everyone who listens in, the support, you know, we wouldn't do it without you guys. And, the feedback we get is great, and we really appreciate it. And of course, thank you to Mr. Alex.
Oh, and thanks to you, Daz. Yeah. And I know when we first started this, and I know we might have actually said this before, but I think at the start we said if we even get 50 people to hear our podcast, we'll be wrapped. So the fact that everyone, you know, or a lot of people are listening to this, it's fantastic.
It's overwhelming.
It is very, very overwhelming. It's humbling, and it just drives us, you know, to do more of these. So, on that note, all good things must come to an end, as we always say. So,
that's right.
Yeah,
that's right. You know what I'm going to do now, though? I'm going to go hook up my Raspberry Pi and have a game on that.
Daz.
Yeah, my Pi 2.
Do I need to drive all the way there and just pick up a C64 and smack you around the head?
Why? Why would you want to do that? Do it with maybe an Atari or but not with Commodore 64. You like that?
I've got no comeback to that.
Probably an Atari Jaguar.
No. Come on. I think I'm going to call Serby and we're going to lynch you.
Oh, no. We're don't call Serby. He'll shoot me.
No. The Jaguar is a... Let's not go.
Let's go there. Well, I think we'd get into an argument, and I don't want to do that.
We would. And remember, our podcast is all about
vintage computers.
Computers, 8-bit and 16-bit. So,
yeah.
I've got nothing against the Raspberry Pi. I do have one myself, so no, I was just kidding. So,
it's actually the Pi 2.
Even better.
Yeah. It's actually quite good. I've chucked on a few vintage computer emulators on there, so
okay.
I'm starting to get it to work properly.
Have you got XBMC as well on there, or just using it as
Nah. It's just for games.
So what happened to the Ouya?
It's got XBMC on it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Which I hardly use. It's normally Netflix now that gets most of the love. Yeah. Okay. I don't do anything naughty anymore.
Yeah, never do I.
Try
and keep on the straight and narrow.
Yes. Okay, guys. To finish off the podcast, we're going to finish it off with Aaron White's track for his remix of the Ocean Loader number 4. Take it away, Aaron. Thanks, guys. Thanks for listening.
Bye.
Bye.